Oh, beloved, what have you done with what God has given you? What have you done with your gifts and your talents and your abilities? What have you done with all those things that you were taught about the Word of God? Are you living accordingly? Or have you turned around? Have you walked away? Oh, beloved, haven't you seen the handwriting on the wall? Don't you know where it will lead? It will only lead to destruction. Beloved, I told you that we would come back to our party, and we're back, and it is party time in Babylon. It is party time in Babylon. The year is 539 BC. The month is October. The Medes and the Persians are outside the walls of Babylon, but Belshazzar, the king, has no problem with it. Yes, his father, Nabonidus, has retreated. He lost the battle against the Medes and the Persians out in the open plain, but it matters not. I mean, after all, this is Babylon the Great. This is the city that has this reputation, the city that cannot be conquered. So let's have a party. It will never happen. They will never get in here. Let's have a feast. So he throws a party for 1,000 people. All of the nobles are there. He's sitting on his platform. He gets this great idea. I mean, hey, let's go get those vessels. Remember Nebuchadnezzar brought them from Israel. Let's get those Jews' vessels from their Jews' God, and let's pour wine in them, and let's toast our gods of iron and wood and stone. They have a God they can't even see. Let's toast them. And so they're toasting their gods, and all of a sudden he sees the handwriting on the wall. You know, all of a sudden the handwriting's on the wall. And the handwriting on the wall is going to let him know, hey, there is a God in heaven, and you cannot do this and get away with it. You cannot fight against the God of heaven and win. Listen to me, beloved. Listen to me carefully. You cannot fight against the God of heaven and win. You cannot break his commandments. You cannot flaunt your own power, your own ability, and get away with it. You cannot do it. You say, I've gotten away with it for all these years. Besides, I'm just listening to this program, and I really don't believe what you say, and I am getting away with it, and I am having a blast, and life is a blast. Life is a ball. I want to tell you something. It's in the goodness of God. It's in the graciousness of God that you're listening to this message, that you're hearing this message from God, because God wants you to know, hey, I'm God. You may not believe in me, but you will soon, in some way or another, discover that I am God, and you are not the captain of your own fate. Put down your glass, put down the wine, put down whatever you've got in your hand that is in defiance of me, and read the handwriting on the wall. Well, you know that none of the wise men of Babylon could read it because they don't know God. They don't understand God. This is a message from God. And so if you read the Word of God and you can't understand it, it's because the Spirit of the living God is not inside of you. But if you will repent, repent means if you'll have a change of mind, if you'll see that you are man and he is God, and if you will turn to him, then I promise you, you'll be able to read the handwriting on the wall. You'll be able to read the Word of God, and you'll be able to understand it because God will put his Spirit inside of you. Well, when they couldn't get any answer, when the Chaldeans and the wise men and the magicians and the conjurers couldn't conjure up an interpretation for what the message on the wall, they heard from the Queen Mother that Daniel was still around. So enter Daniel. In all probability, Daniel is about 80 or 81 years old. He has been serving in this kingdom since 605 BC. And he will serve, and we are told that in Daniel chapter 1, he will serve through the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Cyrus the Persian, part of the Medo-Persian Empire. All right, now, in verse 13, then Daniel was brought in before the king. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who was one of the exiles of Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? Are you that one? Are you that one? Are you that exile? Now I've heard about you, that a spirit of the gods is in you, or that the spirit of God is in you, and that illumination and insight and extraordinary wisdom have been found in you. Just now the wise men and the conjurers were brought in before me that they might read the inscription and make known its interpretation, but they could not give me the interpretation of the message. But I personally heard about you, that you are able to give interpretations and solve difficult problems. Now, if you were able to read the inscription and make its interpretation known to me, I will clothe you with purple and wear, and you will be clothed with purple and wear a necklace of gold around your neck, and you will have authority over as the third ruler of the kingdom." In other words, you'll be part of this triumvirate. You will be one of the three rulers. My father's gone. I sit here in this throne, and you will help me rule this kingdom if you can tell me the interpretation. I mean, this man was desperate to understand the handwriting on the wall. Beloved, do you realize that there are people that you come across that are really desperate to know and understand the handwriting on the wall? They really are looking. They really are searching. Not all of them, but there are people out there that are lost. There are people out there that are lost sheep without a shepherd that need to hear the voice of the shepherd. And the voice of the shepherd is the word of God, and you are God's mouthpiece. And so you need to be out there. You need to be in the marketplace. You need to be in the grocery store, in the stores where you shop, in the beauty parlors where you go to get your hair done or your nails done, or the barber shops where you get your hair cut. You know, every place that you go, you need to remember that there are people out there that want to know. They want to know, what's the handwriting on the wall? Now, they don't always want to, they aren't going to say, what's going on with the Word of God? Explain the Word of God to me. What they want to know is, what's going on in life? What's happening to our country? What's happening to our society? Where are we headed? Where are we headed? After September the 11th, after that great disaster in our country known forever as 9/11, it was a 911 call. It was an emergency call. And people began going to the churches, stopping others. What is happening? They wanted to know, is this the end of this world? Is this Armageddon? Well, he wants to know from Daniel. Now listen to Daniel's answer. Then Daniel answered and said before the king. Now watch the way he does this. It says, keep your gifts to yourself. Now, when we read that, we say, keep your gifts to yourself. Keep your gifts to yourself. But really, what it says, and literally, and I wish they had translated it this way, let your gifts be for yourself. In other words, I'm not here to be bought. I'm not here and going to give you an interpretation because you're going to pay me money. I'm not in this for the money. I belong to the Most High God. So what he's saying here is, I know you're offering me these things, and thank you very much, but no. Let your gifts be kept for yourself, or give your rewards to someone else. It's fine. Give them to someone else. However, I will read the inscription to the king and make the interpretation known to him. In other words, it is my privilege to tell you what God is saying. It is my privilege to explain life to you. And you and I need to see this. You know, sometimes Christianity can get to be big business. And sometimes speakers will only come if they know what they're going to get paid. And or singers will only come if they're only going to get paid, if you're only going to meet the fee that has been set. Now, I know we need to earn a living. But see, it's not a matter of money. It's a matter of duty. It's a matter of responsibility. It's a matter of privilege. We represent the King and the kingdom of the Most High God. And it's not on the basis of money or reward or anything that we give forth the truth. We just have the privilege of doing it. And you need to know how to do it. And that's why I just want to thank you, beloved. I want to thank you so much for studying along with me. I want to thank you so very much for doing your homework. And I forgot to tell you in this chapter, keep marking interpretation. All right, now I want you to mark what we learn about God. He says, O King, the Most High God, granted sovereignty, grandeur, glory, and majesty to Nebuchadnezzar, your father. He says, I want you to understand that everything that your father had was a gift from God. God granted him those things. And he says, and because of the grandeur which he bestowed on him, all peoples, nations, and men of every language feared and trembled before him. Whomever he wished, he killed. And whomever he wished, he spared alive. And whomever he wished, he elevated. And whomever he wished, he humbled. He brought him low. I mean, he was a supreme authority, and God allowed him to have that sovereignty. God allowed him to be in that position. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit became so proud that he behaved arrogantly, he was deposed from his royal throne and his glory was taken away from him. Now, do you see what's happening here? He wants to know, what does the handwriting on the wall mean? Is Daniel telling him what the handwriting on the wall means? No. He said, I'm going to tell you what it means, but he's not going to tell him until first he makes a very important point with Belshazzar. And what is the point that he wants to make? What does he want Belshazzar to understand? What does he want him to realize before he explains to him the handwriting on the wall? He wants to bring him to conviction. He wants to show him where he is. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden and they went and they hid, and God came into the garden. He says, where are you, Adam? Did God not know where Adam was? Yes. But Adam needed to know where he was. He needed to understand his situation. Beloved, when you go out, when you give the word, when you explain it, bring it down to where they're living so that they will see the relevancy of it all. We'll talk about it more when I come back.
We spent 3.5 hours in the Word today, and it flew by because we're doing so much in observing so many different parts of the text. It changed my life and helped me own my faith instead of depending on people for my faith. So I would strongly encourage anybody who's even considering it or has thought about it, please come, because it'll change your life.
Go to precept.org/bootcamp to register today. What would it look like for you to impact the next generation? As children grow up, they have lots of questions about life. What if there was a way to help them discover the answers for themselves? Answers that can only be found in the truth of God's Word. At Precept Ministries International, we have created the Discover for Yourself, or D4Y series, to help the little ones in your life do just that. These hands-on books teach the basic skills of Bible study to children as young as 8 years old, unlocking the door to a lifetime of discovering God's Word. Throughout the month of May, for a gift of any amount, we are offering a copy of our best-selling D4Y title, plus a mini-series of 5 Precepts for Life episodes with Kay Arthur and Jana Arndt. Go to precept.org/Jonah to find out more.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Welcome back, beloved. As we look at Daniel's tactics with Belshazzar, I want us to go back and see what he's telling him about Nebuchadnezzar. He's telling him that Nebuchadnezzar's heart was lifted up, that his heart was proud. And because it was proud and lifted up, God had to bring him low. So listen to what he goes on to say. He describes how low he brought him. And let me go back and read verse 20 since we've been on a break. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit became so proud that he behaved arrogantly, he was deposed from his royal throne and his glory was taken away from him. He was also driven away from mankind and his heart was made like that of the beasts and his dwelling place was with the wild donkeys. He was given grass to eat like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until. And I would mark until. It's a time phrase. Until he recognized that the Most High is the ruler over the realm of mankind and he sets it over whomever he wishes. There is about to be a dramatic change in just a matter of minutes or hours. But Belshazzar had to hear. Belshazzar had to get the message. He had to be reminded that proud hearts have to be humbled. And it had to be written in this book so that you and I might be reminded that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And whatever it takes to break you, whatever it takes to bring you down, whatever it takes to change that heart so that that heart becomes a supple heart in the hands of God, not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh, not an uncircumcised heart with all that old crud of the world around it, but a circumcised heart made new, made brand clean for God. Whatever it takes, that's what God is going to do. Now watch what he says. Yet you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this. You knew all this. Now he still hasn't told him what the handwriting on the wall means. But what is he doing? Listen, he is bringing him under conviction of sin. When you give the gospel, when you give the good news, remember, the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And that he was according to the scriptures. And that he was raised from the dead on the third day according to the scriptures. The first point of the gospel is that Jesus died for what? Our sins. Our sins. There are times, beloved, when you've got to reach out and you've got to gently, he wasn't so gentle here. It doesn't sound like he was gentle, but you've got to gently say, I am sorry. I am sorry. The party cannot continue this way. You are walking in sin. You are living in sin. God says it's sin. God says it's sin, beloved, for you to have sex outside of marriage. God says it is sin for you to cohabitate together. God says it is sin for you to lie. God says it is sin for you to get drunk. God says it is sin for you to take drugs. God says it is sin for you to be fraudulent. God says all of this. Read the book. Read the book. And know this, that a holy God will not be mocked. His word will come to pass. He says, yet you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself. You have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you been taught the word of God? So many times I will witness to somebody. I will mention Jesus Christ, and I will talk to a person in a store, or in somebody in the airport or whatever. And I'll say something to them and they'll say, oh, yeah, I used to hear all that. Yeah, my grandmother told me that. Yeah, my mother told me that. Yeah, I went to church. I heard that. I don't believe that anymore. What have you done? You've lifted your heart, you've become proud, and God has to abase you. So he says, but you have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven. Listen, when you don't believe the word of God, when you don't live according to the word of God, when you don't accept what God says and accept that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, you have exalted yourself above God. And this is what he says. You have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven. You have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your nobles and your wives and your concubines have been drinking wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze and iron and wood and stone, which you did not see, hear, or understand. But the God in whose hands are your life breath and your ways you have not glorified. Listen carefully, precious one. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. And he's saying your breath is in God's hands. Those are sovereign hands. Your ways are in God's hands. He's the one that rules supremely. And you have not honored him as God. You're in trouble. You are in trouble. The handwriting is on the wall. You know, as I was reading this, I thought, you know, if Daniel was in this for the money, all he would have done was read the handwriting on the wall instead of trying to point out to Belshazzar his sin, his pride, his refusal to honor God and exalt him as God. He says, I've seen, God has seen what you have done. You purposefully, you in your pride, in your human flesh, have taken those vessels and they belong to God, and you have toasted your gods. And you see, the body that you and I live in belongs to God. It was given to you by God. And what are you doing with the body, with the vessel that God has given to you? He says, then the hand was sent from him, and this inscription was written out. Now, this is the inscription that was written out many, many tekel you harpsen. This is the interpretation of the message. Many, God has numbered your kingdom and put it to an end. Many, many. He says twice, God has numbered your kingdom, numbered, and put it to an end. Tekel, you, Belshazzar, have been weighed on the scales and found deficient. You have been weighed on the scales and you have been found deficient. Beloved, if God were to weigh your life today, how would you weigh on the scales? Would you weigh deficient of holiness, deficient of what you were supposed to be? Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and the Persians. Now listen, they were outside the gate. There was no way that they thought that they could get in. They had a 20-year supply of food in Babylon. They could outlast any siege, any cutoff. They would never face famine. The walls around Babylon that protected the city, because walls were there for protection, were absolutely magnificent. They were 25 feet wide, and they had 260 towers on that wall, and they were 160 feet apart. I mean, they were impregnable. If you brought all the battering rams, if you could get them to from the first wall to the second wall, all the battery rams of those times could not bring down those walls. So here is Belshazzar. Here he is hearing all of this. Here he is hearing that his days are numbered. Here he is hearing that he has been found in weighed, and he has been found deficient. Here he is hearing that his kingdom has been divided, and it's being divided. And he says, your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and the Persians. What an unusual kingdom, because it was two groups of people that came together and united, and so Babylon was divided between the Medes and the Persians. And yet he never thought that this would happen. I mean, there was no way for anybody to get in. And there was no way for them to famine them out, so to speak, to cut off the supplies, because you know what Nebuchadnezzar had done? Nebuchadnezzar had 20 years worth of food there. I mean, no army is going to hang around for 20 years. I mean, if you started when you were 20, you'd be 40. That's ridiculous. So they thought, there's no way. You say, but they need water. Yes, they need water. Well, the water is going to come in a branch off of the Euphrates, and it's going to be deep, deep water. So there's no way. There's no way that they can get in. They would be spotted. But this night, remember, this night's a party. This night, they think, hey, there's no way that this city can be destroyed. And yet, what happens? Well, you listen to the rest of the scripture, and it says, then Belshazzar gave orders. They clothed Daniel in this purple robe. They put the gold chain around his neck, and they said to him, you are going to be the third ruler in this kingdom. Nah, it's not going to happen. It says, that same night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. So Darius the Mede received the kingdom at the age of 62. Oh, beloved, you are God's living epistle. Let them hear truth.
Do you love K. Arthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries' news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.